Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Like you, for over many years, my ambition or aim has been to live the fully yielded life, which sounds sort of like a Watchman Nee phrase. I don't know if it is, but certainly his thinking. A fully consecrated life. And that's obviously going to be at the heart of what God's going to do next year, because the measure you give is the measure you get back. And in these last few days, there's one particular verse of scripture that the Lord has been impressing upon me. Remember a few weeks ago I talked about the difference between the permissive and the perfect will of God. And just after Paul has been talking about that, he states in 1 Corinthians a key spiritual principle. The body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now, as with many things, Christians tend to try to turn the Word of God on its head. And we're much more interested in the Lord for the body than the body for the Lord. But the principle of Scripture is the measure you give is the measure you get back. You receive according to the measure that you give. We're able to lay hold of the inheritance that we have in Christ in as much as we are yielded to Christ. All these things are relative, of course, because you can understand those things at all kinds of different levels. The body for the Lord. What does that look like? What does that really mean? My body has been under attack the last few weeks. And, you know all the right things to do, healing-wise. And you're seeking to hear anything that God wants to say to you in that situation. And this is what I heard him say. The body is for the Lord. It's actually, I've often said this, and when talking about healing, it's a key. It's to receiving healing. Receiving healing is to present yourself, to give yourself. It's, after all, his body that he paid the price for. It's not my body that needs healed, it's his body that needs healed. And, you know, sometimes the Lord says things to you, and at first you're perhaps a little bit surprised because you thought you were already there. And then he begins to show you ways in which you're not there. That this is a more profound, a deeper, a more far-reaching truth than you have either appreciated or that you are living in at that given moment. If the body is for the Lord, he is Lord of the body. And that means that he is Lord, or to be Lord, of every function of the body, of every use of the body, of all that you do with your body. And, you know, humanly speaking, you think this is a nice time, Lord, just before Christmas, for you to remind us of this, when it would be so easy to indulge the body. Greed in Scripture is idolatry. It's worshipping the body instead of recognizing that the body is the Lord's. I find that truth very helpful when I'm needing to diet and lose weight or fast or do anything like that. The body for the Lord, not for food. Not for self-indulgence. Not for comfort. You'd think that, and I've heard other people sort of get to my age in the 70s and other men and women of God, and you'd think, well, now things would sort of pan out. And I've heard them say things get more difficult the older you get. And I thought, that's strange. Why should that be? And I'm discovering now that when you're younger and you're living in such an intensity of action, you don't have so much time on my hand. It's not that I have a whole lot of wasted time, but I can order my time now. For most of my life, I've never been able to do that. I've been, my sort of definition of busyness was how much I left undone because there wasn't time to do it. And now you have to order your time, or you can order your time, because although you're busy, although you've got plenty to do, you're not sort of rushed off your feet and trying to catch up with an impossible workload all the time. And I remember something that Wesley said. He said, I dread to think where I would be spiritually if I did not have to preach 5 times a day. And I begin to understand what he means now. When you're constantly having to give out and constantly ministering in the anointing of the Spirit, you have to keep in that place of dependence, keep in that place of yieldedness. It's just a way of life. And the pressures get a little bit different. And it's, you know, I mean, this is just a personal thing I'm sharing with you, because you have to sort of begin to think differently. And, I mean, what the Lord's been showing me now is, for me now, this has to be a conscious thing rather than something that just happened. This sort of yieldedness to him in everything that I was doing, simply because that was the only way I could live because of the pressures that I was living under. But it's kind of gone beyond that, and I was, you know, especially with that, the back problem I had, praise God, it more or less completely resolved now, but it wasn't actually so much as a result of the prayer last week, though I think what the prayer did was just enable me to hear clearly what the Lord was saying about the body. Because what he said, what he's been saying to me during the last few days is, this is the key to what I'm going to do in the new year, in the church, among the students. That, you know, we can talk about all kinds of things and have all kinds of vision, but without the yieldedness of the body, it's not going to happen. And, you know, it's not just a question of the heart, is it? People give their hearts to the Lord, but the heart can't do anything without the body. The body has to express whatever is going on in the heart. And so, you know, what the Lord's been really impressing upon me is there's going to be a reordering of people's time, because there's going to be a reordering of their lives, in order to see the sort of expansive work that God is going to do. There is going to have to be a greater consecration of time to him. It's going to take more time, to put it bluntly. It's going to take more of everybody's time. it's not a question of the Lord doing more. The Lord doing more means that we will be doing more. I'm not just talking about the team, I'm talking about the whole church. And this is something that, in a sense, sort of takes place in tandem with what the Spirit of God is doing. When you go move into or go into a move of God, the Spirit is working on people's hearts, and this sort of greater yieldedness takes place, certainly among some first, and then it has a sort of a knock-on effect upon many others. But I believe what God is saying is there's got to be a willingness for this, even a desire for this. This yieldedness, this consecration, this recognition, the body is for the Lord. And then the Lord will be for the body. He's talking, of course, about the human body there, not the body of Christ. Although the Lord is for the body of Christ as well. So, the measure you give is the measure you get back. And I just felt the Lord was saying that what he is confronting us with now is this need. We can use words like consecration, sanctification, yieldedness. But actually what it boils down to is you just give yourself more fully to the Lord. And therefore you give your body more fully to him. And we could all say, you see, that I'm already doing that. Some of you might say, I'm already stretched to the limit. But it's not a question of doing more, is it? It's a question of what you do. Because actually we can be very busy without being consecrated, without what we're doing really being the body given to the Lord. There can be a need in all of us to feel that we're being useful, to feel that we're being used, that we're busy doing the Lord's work. But you see, what is the Lord's work? It's not just fulfilling the functions that God asks of us every day because we're on the team. We're talking about a heart thing here that affects our attitude towards the body, towards therefore the use of our time, towards every aspect really of our lives. Am I making myself clear here? So, it isn't that there's any great answers. It's just something that the Lord, I believe, is putting before us. It's something that each of us will have to work through in prayer. And these things always start with a question, really, you know, well, am I giving my body for the Lord? Is there that sense of consecration, not only of all the various parts of my body, but of what I do with my body, the use of my time, priorities, and so on? No great answers, but the answer each one of us has to find for ourselves before the Lord. Ultimately, it always comes down to not my will but yours be done. And if anyone would follow me, have to deny what he wants to do with his time, what he wants to do with his body, so on. Always comes down to the same basic principles of what it means to be a disciple. And we're not talking about great experiences. We're just talking about a deep or ever-deepening work of the Spirit in our hearts. And of realizing that the last thing in the world we need to be is defensive. You can defend yourself against what God is saying by saying, you know, well, I'm already there, or I'm already fully committed, or I'm already whatever. And the Lord says, well, you may think that, but I don't see that. Now, how do we move on in this process with the Lord? Not by looking at ourselves. But all these things that the Lord has been saying to us during the autumn, if I can just remind you of a few of them. Losing yourself. He who seeks to save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Dying to self. You have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. His perfect will, rather than being content with his permissive will. Living at one with the Spirit, she's been talking about the last 4 weeks. Spirit working on our conscience to bring us in line with the will of God in all things. Pastor Jonathan at last Sunday week, talking about God wants everything. Clive preached a stormer on Sunday morning. It's a follow-up to that. It's sort of difficult to sidestep what God is saying. And yet, you know, while I was sort of battling with his pain the last few weeks and so on, you're always thinking, Lord, what are you saying through this? When the thing doesn't shift, praise God, it's shifting now. But you say, well, you know, what am I missing? It's not always just a question of, well, are you in faith? And what the Lord has shown me is, well, in all things he's working for our good. But we can't even be attacked by the enemy or by sickness or by anything unless somehow it is within the permissive will of God, even if it isn't his perfect will. But why should such things be in his permissive will? So that they don't immediately, that we pray, get resolved. What is he wanting to teach us through times like that? Well, we could say perseverance, because perseverance is a very important aspect of faith in Scripture, and perseverance builds character, as Scripture says. So when we have to persevere through any kind of adversity, God's building character. That he is working for our good in order that something positive will come out of what to us seems a negative situation. Of course, in times of sickness and challenge and adversity, it causes many people to repent. They face issues that God has been speaking to them about a long time before, but without much response. Suddenly, you know, if they're in a position of need, they want to get everything right with God because they want to get out of the need. And I've always taught that, you know, there's nothing that God wants to teach us in sickness that he would not much prefer to teach us in health. But you would have heard many, many testimonies of how people met with God in a profound way in times of sickness. I could tell you many testimonies of people, profound, wonderful transformations of people's lives that came about because, bang, God put them on their back in one way or another. And that's how they would put it. God put me here. I mean, one famous person, I won't say who it is, but I can remember him saying to me, God, I did everything to get off my back. He had a very serious back problem. And God wouldn't let me off my back until I was surrendered to him. Now you would have said that was a guy that was already surrendered. National, international ministry. Household name. But it's always a question of degree, isn't it? That God knows that when he wants to do a deeper or a greater work in us, he needs more of us to do it with. That's the point. And that's not just being deceived, because, you know, our hearts are deceived above all things. So, you know, you can think, I'm in this wonderful place with God, and then he begins to show you, wait a minute, the body is for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. And you see, when you learn to persevere through things, how do you persevere? You praise God. You rejoice. Your focus is on Him, not the need. And while your focus is on the need, nothing much happens. When you get obedient to God and you rejoice in the Lord always and you give thanks in all circumstances, even those that you do not want, then God begins to move. It's yet another area of being yielded to Him, yielded to His Word, approaching the circumstances of our lives in the way that he determines in his word, not in the way that would be natural to us or soulish to us. The testing of our faith proves it's genuine. And what the Lord has taught me is the testing of your faith is to see whether you will keep my focus on, whether you will keep your focus on me no matter what's happening to you. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what challenges you're facing, no matter what attack you're under, if it's in sickness or pain or whatever, if it's just infirmity, persecution, opposition, the testing of your faith is whether you will keep your focus on me, whether you will keep rejoicing, whether you will keep yielded to me, whether you keep giving thanks. That's the testing of your faith. And it's genuine when you do that, no matter what's happening to you. The body for the Lord. Because, you see, what is the alternative? Self-concern. Self-pity. The focus gets on self. Talking about the need. Talking about self. Because, I mean, whoever you talk about is where your focus is, isn't it? If you ever want to start a conversation with someone, just ask them some questions about themselves and they'll talk about their favorite subject. But God is taking us beyond all that stuff. You see, what is this yieldedness to him? What is this consecrated life Clive was talking about on Sunday? It's a life lived with Jesus as your focus. Consistently. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Fix your eyes. Persevere. Keep giving. Not with some sort of masochistic, sacrificial attitude, but in praise, in thanksgiving, with joy. Because no matter what's going on in you, he is always the same. And what we're doing, you see, is bringing ourselves in line with him. Not asking him to bring himself in line with us and with what's going on in our lives. But you see, what this scripture says to us is that when we do it his way, then the Lord is for the body. And whatever needs to happen in the body gets resolved. Hallelujah, glory, amen. This is the first time I've been able to stand like this for the last few weeks without being in agony. Even while I've been preaching and speaking, it's been a question, you see, of persevering without... Praise God. So I'm rejoicing. Hallelujah. Glory on God. But it took God to work this message in me before the release came. Again. How many times have I been here over all the years? This is the thing, you know, God keeps bringing us back to the same things, but always in a deeper way. Of course, gramophone records are a thing of history now. But I used to be able to say, the Christian life is like a gramophone record, that you keep coming back to the same place, but every time you're a little bit nearer the center than you were last revolution. So I can still use it while you remember what a gramophone record looked like. I'm sure there'll be just as good digital illustrations to use. So praise God. What a message, just as we're going into Christmas. But perhaps this is going to be a testing of our faith. I don't mean that we don't celebrate Christmas. I love Christmas. I think it's a great time, wonderful time. I don't like what the world's done to it, but I mean that's just the world. The world would do whatever. But I love Christmas, and nobody's going to stop me celebrating the birth of my Savior. Because without his birth, there couldn't have been a death, and without his death, there couldn't have been salvation, and so on. So everything begins with the willingness of God to become man in Jesus. So I think it's a great time. And I think giving presents is great too, and receiving them, so long as there's stuff that you want, is also good.
I agree.
But then my family knows my philosophy on presents. I'll buy it and you pay for it, and I get what I want. But I don't know if that sort of fits in with this message. But hallelujah. The important thing is that God gets what he wants. And at this Christmas, I can remember when pastoring, you know, as a young man, I would always say to the people at Christmas time, what present are you giving Jesus? this year. And, you know, when you give a present to someone, you don't give what you gave last year. You want, well, I've got to give something different this year. So say to people, now what present are you going to give Jesus that you've never given him before? And say, now expect Christmas to be a time of spiritual growth for you. Why all this build up to this great day and then it's an anticlimax because nothing happens? You just sing a few carols and everybody looks nice and jolly. So no, there's all this build up because surely God wants to do something on Christmas Day.
Very good. Yeah. Very good.
But the measure you give is the measure you get back. So what are you going to give Jesus on Christmas Day that you've never given him before? That's a good sermon for Sunday. I'm preaching on Sunday, aren't I? Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody put it up on the website before Sunday. So, that's it really, isn't it? The body for the Lord. Well, often when, you know, people come for healing, I say to them, what have you given to the Lord? Have you given him your body? I said, you know, how can he heal something that isn't given to him to heal? Because, you know, the attitude is often, I want to get, rather than I want to give. But the whole purpose of, you know, I learned very early on in my ministry, that if you want to see people healed, you encourage them to give. Not give money. I mean, if I want to give money, they can do that. But they're coming, they're presenting themselves to the Lord to be healed. Just as people came to Jesus, they presented themselves to Jesus to be healed. And that's what I believe the Lord's saying to us now. Well, this is a good time, not just Christmas, you understand, but in the light of what he wants to do in the new year. What we can't do is just suddenly throw a switch on the 3rd of January and expect everything to take off.
That's it, absolutely. Right.
Because God's been doing this stuff in us during these last 3 or 4 months, ever since September. And he's not saying, I want to dip now, and then you get started again. I think this Christmas needs to be a progress time. And it isn't, you know, we need all to have a rest. I know how busy everybody's been. It's not, as I say, it's not a question of activity. It's a question of where we are in terms of that givenness over to the Lord, that yieldedness to him. And somehow, the body is the key. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice.
Very good.
Holy and acceptable to God. And glorify God in your body. I read something when I was praying in the night. It's sort of, I've read it before because it was highlighted in the book I was reading. It's amazing how you can sort of forget these things. The one who heals is the Holy Spirit, yes?
Yes.
The Spirit of holiness is the Spirit of healing. Or if you want to put it the other way, the Spirit of healing is the Spirit of holiness. Same Spirit. And God began to talk to me again between the connection between holiness and healing. But what is holiness? Holiness comes out of that yieldedness to the Holy One. So let's all pray together, shall we? think we all understand what the Lord's saying to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that when you came, you gave your body. And if you hadn't given your body, we wouldn't have had salvation. And you say in your word that the body belongs to the Lord and we're to glorify you and our bodies are to be a living sacrifice. And Lord, you say in your word that many are sick and some have died because they haven't discerned the Lord's body. And we thank you that the answer to every need in our body is in your body. In the way that you yielded your body to the will of the Father. Lord, I pray that you would just talk with every one of us over these coming days, that we will apply this word, that your Holy Spirit would take it, enable us to apply it to our hearts, to our lives, to in whatever way, Lord, is appropriate for each one of us. Not in any legalistic sense, but really seeking to hear from you what you are saying to us through this word, that the body is for the Lord and the Lord for the body. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've been saying these last weeks and months, even these last few days in the church and among the students here. And thank you, Lord, that you're only speaking to this to us about this because of all that you intend to do. And Lord, we know how we can be swept along with busyness without even thinking, you know, of whether what we're doing is really what you want us to be doing. And so, Lord, I can't really speak for anybody else here now. I can only say to you, I yield my body afresh to you. Lord, I wish it was a younger body, but you said that you will keep it young, you will keep it fit and healthy, so I can continue to worship you, to praise you, to bless you, to fulfill whatever plan and purpose you have for my life. And I thank you, Lord, that you want me to have a fit and a healthy body so that I can serve you, not just so that I can have a fit, healthy body, but so that my body can be for the Lord. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord, that you have healed me just in this last couple of days as I really see the revelation of this truth in a fresh way. Praise your holy name. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Kura la bazataria leto bakara sitaria leto bakara sitari sandama. Bazandaria leto bakara sitari sataria leto bakara sitari sandama. Barataria leto bakara sitari sataria leto bakara sitama. Thank you, Lord, that when you died on the cross for me, you paid the price for me, spirit, soul, and body. Thank you that my body is so important to you because you want to give me, you want to raise this body up into a resurrection body and to an incorruptible body. Hallelujah. That although it may die in one form, it will be raised in another form. That I will have a bodily resurrection, and I praise you and I bless you and I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.